Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hi, this is John Barber. You are listening to The Pullbag.
Will provide me with great pleasure.
You've just jumped inside The Pullbag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside The Pullbag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside The Pullbag.
Hello and welcome to The Pullbag. This is episode 521. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike, and joining me, I think, for the first time. You haven't been on this show before, have you?
I
don't think so.
I know we reviewed movies and stuff. I think this is the first time we've done comics together.
Yes, this is Eduardo M. Frying something.
Fryer. Fryer Lawrence, Deep Fryer, you know.
Never mind that. I'll join you. Just call me Fryer Duck. But we are here to talk about IDW Publishing's G.I. Joe World on Fire 10-issue series from IDW Publishing. There is also a one-shot called Castlefall, but that will be later in June that we actually review that. But we're going to talk about the 10-issue series from IDW, written by Paul Allor. Art was done by Chris Evenhaus, Nico Walter, Emma Vaselli, and Ryan Kelly. Colors by Brittany Peer, and the letters were done by Neil Yukitai. So, G.I. Joe, it's been a thing around the GeekCast Radio Network since GeekCast Radio, our flagship show, did Resolute as, I believe, our very first episode way back when in 2009, 2010. When did I don't remember when Resolute came out.
Resolute came out, I think, around the a little before Rise of Cobra, I think, I want to say. So that would be probably about around 2009-ish or so.
Yeah, I think it was 2009. So Eduardo,
maybe 2010. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Eduardo,
did you know I actually wrote a fanfic? Resolute fanfic.
Oh no. Are you one of those he/she fans? Like, I have no problem with he/she, but like how it should have ended, kind of thing. Like, oh boy, they did it wrong, so I'm gonna do it better, kind of thing.
No. I mean, for the most part, I enjoyed Resolute.
Mm-hmm.
I thought okay, there were some things that could have been done differently, but just like what I wanted, the whole reason I wrote it is because I wanted to continue the I wanted to see the story continued. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna write my own little continuation. That's all it was, you know. Okay. And then plus also, you know, use more characters and stuff like that. Remind me, you know, when we're done here, I'll gladly send I'll send you a link.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we released that May 22nd of 2009 is when we released that. So Resolute was somewhere around there. But yes, we are here to talk about G.I. Joe World on Fire, 10 issues. Holy wow. I'm just going to let you guys know right now, this is going to get heavy. This is going to get deep, and this is going to maybe possibly trigger some people. And the whole reason why I wanted to talk about this was not because that it was G.I. Joe, but because it was dealing with something I've dealt with in the past, which was in 1994, and I've told this story before, so if you people haven't heard it, then you haven't been listening to my podcasts. Things were going on in my life in 1994, and I tried basically whacking myself in the back of the head with a lead pipe. I tried committing suicide in 1994. Things were not going so well back then. So since then, I have been I've tried to be as active as I can in suicide prevention. And I remember when this World on Fire 10 issues hit, the first six issues, and then the seventh issue hit, and they were like, we're making this one free because it deals with suicide and everything else. So you people have been warned. If you are listening to the sound of my voice at 5 minutes and 17-18 seconds of this podcast, we will be talking about what happened in issue 7 later on. G.I. Joe in general, I've always been basically, you're the diehard, I'm kind of like the outsider kind of thing. So what did you think when you first read this? Was this the first time you read this, or had you read it when it initially released?
I read it when initially released. I was really when I heard the premise, I'm like, huh, okay, that's actually, huh.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, this is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, G.I. Joe, as far as IDW is concerned, G.I. Joe, it feels like they could never really, get a feel for what they wanted. Before World on Fire, there was four different G.I. Joe series that were mm-hmm. supposed to be in the same continuity, but most of them felt, at least half of them felt like something totally different. G.I. Joe Volume 4, it felt so different. I tried reading it and I was like, I can't recognize who these people are.
Yeah.
You know, this one, World on Fire, you know, it's obviously obviously this is supposed to be something totally different.
It's totally separate
continuity.
This is not the real American Hero continuity. I mean, it has real American Hero characters, it has some of the real American Hero characters, and it has the Cobra characters and things like that, but yeah. It's not in with the, this is basically a complete one-shot miniseries, 10-issue miniseries, whatever, however you want to say in comic terminology of what it is.
Yeah.
It's a series set by itself that tells a story beginning, middle, and end. And that's all it needed to be. That's all it should have been. And I personally have read other things that Paul Allor has done, and I love his writing, so...
Yeah.
I was interested to see where this was going to go because I'm pretty sure this is the first time we've covered G.I. Joe here inside the Pullbag. I don't think in our 10-year history we've ever covered any of the other G.I. Joe comics. If you have,
it wasn't with me.
No, I know that. I'm just saying that... I'm pretty sure I'm 99.99755% that mm-hmm. we have not, and I wanted our G.I. Joe coverage. Oh, okay, technically we have. This is our first foray into G.I. Joe by itself. But back in 2018 we did do Transformers versus G.I. Joe. Volume 1, which is something completely and wholly different. But this is our very first, hey, look, it's G.I. Joe, let's go kind of thing.
Yep.
So,
Yo, Joe. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Mm-hmm. So had you read any of other – Paul has done many other things. The only thing I remember off the top of my head is he did the TMNT Turtles in Time miniseries.
Ooh, I don't. Yeah, I think this is my first time reading Paul Allor's stuff.
Okay,
because I can't. Maybe I read something else, but I don't realize it was him.
Right.
This is at least the first time I am pretty clear that I was reading Paul Allor's stuff.
Hmm. Very cool. Very cool. So, Life During Wartime. Oh, boy. The first issue here.
Starting things off with, starting things off with a bang, so to speak.
Quite literally.
You know, the fact that it kind of, the lead-in did kind of showcase that you know, we would be having a new character, Tiger. Yeah. But, you know, it felt like the, you know, the old standbys were there. You know, we did, we had Scarlet, we had, you know, Duke, we had Roadblock. And then, yeah,
I love how he says, folks, we had Duke in quotation marks.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that, you know, if we get the first issue out of the gate and we're not even what?
Yeah.
We're not even what, 10 pages in?
Yeah, no, not even.
And we're not even 10 pages in. And yeah, Duke is killed. He gets shot in the head.
There's no coming like, back. From that,
yeah, it was like, well, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, I was hoping that was not going to happen, but when I saw,
wow, okay,
yeah, I was really hoping that was not gonna happen, but when I saw it happen, I'm like, damn, okay,
yeah, no, yeah, I, and also it's like, you know, it is, I mean, okay, it is a trope that. You know, it is a trope that, you know, if you want to start things off, you know, you gotta shock the reader. You know, let's shock the reader and let them know, you know, this is not the same thing. And it, but I actually do like, though, that Duke's death is a part of the story. It's not just, well, we're gonna kill this guy off, because it's like, hey, did you think we'd actually kill Duke off? You didn't think so? Ha ha! You know, it's.
I mean, this isn't, you know, oh my god, we killed the big red truck guy, and oh my god, yeah, everyone's hiding in their closets. We can't kill Duke. If we kill Duke, we're going to have more kids hiding in their closets. Like, oh my god, no. But no, this is like, again, yes, you're right. You need some sort of, I just was not expecting it to be Duke. I don't know who I was expecting it to be to get
well,
the. But, I mean,
it's
kind of obvious that it is, but, like, when I, again, like you're saying, this is, let's see here, this is, like you said, it's on basically the seventh, it's the 11th page of the, of what I'm looking at here, the trade, but yeah, 11 pages in, wham, but those previous pages, I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting that, and that's what obviously they were aiming for. Like, yeah, here's a holy shit moment for you folks.
Oh yeah, no, and then they also, like, you know, you also have kind of, if you don't mind me moving up a bit,
mm-hmm, sure,
as far as issues, there's also issue 9,
yeah,
which featured Tunnel Rat, and you had Tunnel Rat as the last man standing,
mm-hmm,
in a you know, in a mission that went wrong.
Yep.
And it's like, wait a minute, hold on a sec. We're gonna, you know, it's like you have all these, you have references to all these characters like Dusty or, you know, Gridiron, all that. And it's like, oh, and by the way, they died before the events in the story. And some of them died, like, they did not die heroically. And it's like, again, it's holy cow, you know, we're gonna go here, you know, these are characters you know and love, and yeah, they're not going to survive.
Yep.
And it's like, wait a minute, this isn't what, you know, this is not what I was expecting.
So
The
basis of this whole story, folks, is that Cobra has it's a world on fire. Cobra has taken over, and the Joes and America surrender to them. Oh boy.
Yep.
It's a dystopian future if I ever saw one.
Or even dystopian present, because it feels
true.
It feels like this is, you know, yeah, this is like, okay, let's have the Cobra, the Joe Cobra conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is something, we're taking it from a different standpoint where, you know, this isn't, you know, the Cobra won the war before it even started. So it's like, okay, this is now the Joes really behind the eight ball.
And I just, and I just now realized as we get further into this, I'm like, as I was reading it, I was like, wait, why does Dr. Mindbender have Duke's? Oh, right. Hello. Cobra is the law. Oh, boy.
Well, and I mean, even it's like, okay, they're the law. Also, it's like, I don't, you know, it's.
Well, I mean, like, it confused the hell out of me at first when I was reading, and I was like, wait a minute. Oh, right. America and the Joes surrendered to Cobra. So Cobra is now the. So instead of going to, like, Doctor whatever on Law and Order, you know, you would go to whatever medical examiner. Your medical examiner is Dr. Mindbender. Did you really have to shoot him in the head? Really? Like, that's his biggest takeaway from Duke. Like, we could have examined his brain.
Like, oh, yeah, God. exactly. It's like, it's, you know, the whole thing. You gotta love Mindbender's like, dude, why'd you shoot him in the head? You know, forget everything. It's just, you know, oh yeah, I could have shot him anywhere else. You know, but that's Mindbender. I mean, and it's a nice, it's kind of a nice way to, you know, to kind of show that this may be a different world, but it's, some things are still the same.
Oh yeah. Well, unless you completely change the character of Dr. Mindbender, he's going to be the same in every world, pretty much.
Yeah. Heck, even Renegades, there was still a little bit of the Mindbender we know and love.
Yep. And also during this whole point, during this, right before this, Scarlet was doing training with the new recruit Tiger, and she's like, land a punch if you can. And she's just kind of, because of her grief over Duke, she's just, basically he's got his hands tied behind his back. He doesn't, but he kind of does, because she basically just overpowers him every single time.
Yeah. And, well, it's like I said, you know, with Duke's, you know, we had the thing with Duke's death.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it formed Scarlet's character, like part of the reason that she's so hard on Tiger is that she's still trying to get over Duke's death.
Yep.
Absolutely. You know, so it's, and that informs what, you know, that informs everything. So, you know, it's, I don't know. Like, I don't know how else to put it. It's like, you know, Scarlet's such a hard ass because,
it's just one of those things where, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And we get to, almost to the close of the issue here. And was General Hawk always this old? Has he always been, like, portrayed as older than Flint and Duke and Lady J and just the rest of them?
I believe he is supposed to be older. I know that in the Marvel run, there was an issue early on, like I think issue like 8 or something.
Yeah.
Where he does say he's had I think like 20 or 30 years in uniform. Like he actually out and out takes like a number.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's always supposed to be a little older. Not like, you know, we're not talking like, you know, Harrison Ford levels, but.
Well, that's the levels he looks in here. I mean, he's old and gray.
He's
got white hair with a gray suit, so.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he is. It does feel like, it does feel like, you know, he's a little older
than everybody else
than usual.
Yeah. And say what you will about the rise of Cobra, but having freaking Dennis, Dennis Quaid. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. As General Hulk. That was hilarious. That was amazing. Yeah. So the second issue.
No, that wasn't bad casting. I mean,
no, not at all.
I actually think that, yeah, Rise of Cobra had come out like maybe a decade before, you know, we could have had Harrison Ford as General Hawk, and I would have liked that. Or even Charles Flagg, because, you know, there's usually a guy who's for Hawk, and like, hey, you know.
So the issue ends with him making a deal with Destro, and the whatever the Destro, Clan Destro will provide you with weapons and whatever you need.
Yes, making a deal with Mars. Destro's company.
Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, it's something, you know, I mean, that's kind of a surprise moment. But on the other hand, it's like Destro, you know, for all the things, you know, all the times he's been, you know, chummy with Co-Commander, he's also been he's an arms dealer. So it's like, okay, we gotta, you know, he's gonna, you know, his interest is, oh, can I, you know, how can I benefit from this?
Yeah, you know, Destro has always been a more competent and less, I mean, if he is traitorous, it's pretty much stated up front. It's not like backhandedness. So basically Destro is a better version of Starscream.
Yeah, well, it's, I mean, not even Starscream, because, you know, Starscream's all about power. Destro, he's kind of a type that, you know, he wants to make sure that no matter what the out, you know, he's a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a businessman. He runs a business, so he wants to make a profit no matter what. I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember if it's Destro's 1988 file card or if it's the file card of the Iron Grenadiers of the same year. Mm-hmm. But it states that what he will do is he will sell to good sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he'll sit there and he'll give Commander a design for a new Vis tank, and then he'll turn around, talk to the U.S. government and saying, oh, you need some stealth technology for that new fighter you want the Geodos to test out? Here! Why don't you try this?
Well, I mean, I was trying to make the Starscream reference because normally Destro is kind of, when he is aligned with Cobra, he is the second in command to the commander. However, now that you're saying this, I'm like, oh, he's just a Quintesson. Great. Because they were selling to both sides in the Quintesson journal.
Yeah, although when it comes to the Decepticon Autobot role, they'll team with the Decepticons, no question, and then just be like, you know, can you destroy the Autobots for us? Cool. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, we didn't mention that we were gonna throw you right after. Oh darn it. That totally slipped our mind. Oh, too bad. Hey, thanks for being our pawns. Later. Yeah.
And two full pages into issue 3. Is it just me, or is that Optimus Prime at the border crossing?
you know, maybe.
I mean,
like, I'm not 100% sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's just a cute little Easter egg.
Well, obviously it's an Easter egg, but again, it's not a flat nose cab, sadly, but it's more of a movie cab with a G1 trailer look at the border where it says, have ID ready, delay will not be tolerated.
Yeah, it might. I mean, it might be. It might be that, it was just, you know, hey, let's throw in Optimus Prime just for fun, you know. And not to mention that when, given how dark and serious this particular series is, you know, you can't fault the artist for being like, let me see if I can toss it up, let's just toss in this lighthearted thing, you know, and it's not like, you know, it's not like they drove home by having the driver be called Mr. Cullen or something like that.
Yeah, or, you know, having a giant Autobot symbol on the cab there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Would have been,
you know.
Yeah, that was a little too much. Yeah.
And it probably isn't Optimus Prime. I mean, that one shot is a nice little homage, but as we get to the next panels, there is a Cobra insignia on the driver's side of the truck.
Well, you know, I mean, it could also be that, it could also be, you know, I mean, hey, Optimus could be in disguise.
I don't think he would go that far. He might go far. I don't think he'd go that far.
Well, you know.
What I love about this whole issue 3 is that basically it's a Roadblock leading a mission in Millville, Missouri, basically in the middle of nowhere, everybody.
Yeah. And it's also you got a great tie-in to the classic stuff, because I know in the Marvel run there was a town called Millville that, you know, Kumba basically moved in and took over. So, you know, it's great to see, you know, Millville showing up again.
Yeah.
You know, and apparently, well, if Wikipedia is to be believed, Millville is actually a real place.
Yeah, it is.
Let's see. Unincorporated rural hamlet in Ray County in the United States of Missouri.
Yep.
Part of the Kansas City metropolitan area.
Yep.
Okay, so hey, let's, you know, not only have a nod to the Marvel run, we've got it's an actual real life. You can actually go there and visit. You can go visit Millville and ask them, hey, do you know where I can, find the local Cooper headquarters?
Mm-hmm. Which it's inside the Viper Diner.
Yeah. I'm sure that if you ask the Simpsons will be like, the hell are you talking about? What? Mm-hmm. What is your problem? Yeah. And hey, we got like another, you know, got another, you know, it's interesting how they put Joe's in, you know, especially because it can be a little difficult to tell, you know, oh, that's so-and-so, you know, like in this case, Roadblock's working with Lightfoot.
Yeah.
You know, not the, you know, Lightfoot's not wearing a yellow outfit with like a green, you know, black and green chest area and a blue helmet.
Yeah.
So it's like you kind of have to listen. You're going to have to listen to the dialogue for them to, to figure out, oh, it's that person. Okay. Yeah.
It's that character that no one it's really that remembers.
Yeah. Well, you know, I liked it mostly because that was that he and Hardball were the first two 88 figures that I owned.
Very cool. Very cool.
It's like, I didn't even know that they were out yet. You know, I remember that my mom came home one day and was like, hey, look, you know, G.I. Joe figures. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute, new characters. What? New characters. Cool.
Yeah. So their objective is to blow up the bridge so Cobra can't, you know, continue to bring weapons and other things and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. And that kind of sort of goes off without a hitch, but not really, because now Baroness has to report it back to Cobra Commander.
Yeah.
She wasn't in this enough. That's my at this point in issue 4, she was not in this enough to me, but that's just me.
It is interesting because, you know, Baroness is supposed to be one of one of like popular characters, and it's like, well, wait a minute, she's only in this. She's barely in this. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What? But still interesting. I mean, it's always interesting to me. You know, like I had this thought when I was looking over the the IDW run of Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see, like, you know, how there are characters that not, you know, that, you know, you think would be in everything, and then they don't show up, like Grimlock. You know, Grimlock of the Dinobots. It's Grimlock. It's the T-Rex guy. And there were years between appearances, and it's like, wow, that's interesting, because it's like, you would think, you know,
mm-hmm.
but instead it's like, oh, we're actually going to make Tailgate a popular character. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. Tailgate's going to be, you know, you're going to make Tailgate awesome? Okay, wow. Hey, I'm not complaining. It's just, wow, okay. I never thought, you know, it's like that to me, you know, that to me yeah. is like, oh, okay. I never thought I'd see the day, but that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah. Like I said, we kind of end on the Baroness having to report back to Cobra Commander in the next issue. I have to highlight the cover for issue 4 because Kronos Magazine, Man of the Year.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, it took me like 4 seconds to really realize that there was magazine under the name Kronos. I was like, oh, I see what they did there. That's a good joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was. Oh, jeez.
So, in this one, Major Blood is remembering his actions when he started working for Cobra Technologies and some other stuff. I don't know what it... Like, I am so far on the outskirts of G.I. Joe. Outside of Cobra Commander, Baroness, and Destro, mm-hmm. half of the other Cobra characters, I don't know. I know Dr. Mountbender sort of, but not really.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, you know, it's like you said, you know, you're the outlier, the huge fan. So it's like, so yeah, you know, I recognize a lot of these characters. I mean, sometimes if, you know, a writer decides to like really, you know, really tinker, then yeah, sometimes I'm like, wait, where's that? Oh, that's who that is. Oh, okay. Oh, I get it now. Okay, I get it now. It's that guy. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm loving the art, though. The art in this
is really good. Interesting, because it's there's a simplicity to it, but it works.
I wasn't
it's not quite, you know, I mean, it's weird because, like, for example, the faces have a lot of definition, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's still, you can still get some expression out of it, you know, and it's interesting art. It's interesting art, but, you know, and it's one of those things where, you know, when I first saw it, I'm like, huh, but I'm like, actually, no, I can, yeah, no, I'm fine. You know, this works for me.
Yep. No, it absolutely does, and it gets better and better as we go along.
Yeah.
Anything else on Dreadnokistan for issue 5?
Dreadnokistan, oh, jeez. Dreadnokistan surprised me.
Yeah.
Only because it's like, we got the Dreadnoks, but, you know, they're actually helping the heroes. It was weird seeing the Dreadnoks. Like, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop and for, like, oh, the Dreadnoks betrayed the Joes at the end, but no, it didn't happen. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting. You know, that is an interesting take. Mm-hmm. And it kind of makes me wish that this series had been more than 10 issues.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it would have been interesting to see more of the Dreadnoks and more of kind of like, oh, how do they, you know, it's their thing.
you know?
Yeah.
Like, how is it that they, you know, how is it that they're functioning, you know?
Yeah. And it was strange seeing, or maybe it's not strange, maybe it's just strange to me. Zartan is their leader? Has he always been their leader?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that's all. It's always been like that. He's always been leader of the Dreadnoughts. You know, and of course you have different iterations of the Dreadnoughts, you know, like the cartoon, they're all, you know, they are all muscle, no brain. So, you know, Zartan and his siblings are there to kind of like smack him around and go, you know, shut up, knuckleheads. This is what we're doing. So, you know, it's, but yeah, he's always been the leader. And again, I wanted to see more of that.
Yeah.
You know, more of kind of Zartan as this, you know, leader of his people, you know?
Yeah. And you could
especially
have
you
could have a whole side story with him and the Dreadnoughts and do all kinds of stuff with them as a third faction of the G.I.
Yeah,
Joe.
Yeah, exactly.
Type stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, it would be interesting seeing them as like their own little faction. Like they don't want the Joe's help. They don't want Cobra. They don't want the Joe's help, you know. Just, hey, get Dreadnoughtistan out of Cobra control, and, you know, that's all we want.
Yep. Absolutely. Issue 6 is The Fadeaway.
Mm.
This was
interesting. Yeah, I like the, I do like the thing with, I do like how we had, you know, one of the new Joes, you know, one of the other new Joes in this series, Fadeaway, you know, meeting up with an old friend who is now working for Cobra.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just like, you know, it is something, you know, the great thing about the world that this series creates is that it allows for stories like this.
Yeah.
You know, where you have a Joe and a Cobra who used to know each other before kind of having to confront, you know, their new stations in life.
Yeah.
You know, I like that we're able to do this.
Yeah, because it's interesting seeing the opposing sides, not just, you know, throw punch, shoot gun, fire missile kind of thing. And, you know, that's a testament to the writing, it's a testament to the art, because this issue has all kinds of, like, not that the art is all over the place, but it has so many different juxtapositions between the outside and the snow and the interiors, and it's just blended so well. And the fact that that Jinx goes back to Snake Eyes, and that that's one way to get him in here, I guess.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's interesting that, you know, Snake Eyes, you would think that Snake Eyes would be a gimme.
Mm-hmm.
That it would be like, oh, we got to have Snake Eyes in the book. But the fact that he's barely in there, and the fact that they kind of end it on this open note.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's just so fascinating to me that it's like, oh, they want, you know, we're doing a G.I. Joe book, and we're not just, you know, well, hey, it's a G.I. Joe book. We got to have Snake Eyes. You know, it's like, nope, Snake Eyes is going to be around. He's just, we're not going to see him in every single issue. And I'm sorry there wasn't more done.
Yeah.
Like, what's the deal with Snake Eyes? What are he and, you know, his clan doing about Cobra? Are they doing anything? You know, what's the deal here? Inquiring minds want to know.
Yep. Although I don't think we will ever get the answers, because this series was not necessarily one and done, but it, like, there was no, after it ended, that was it. And
I wonder,
go ahead.
Yeah. You know, after Castle Fall, I was just like, I remember it came out and I was just like, okay, is there more to this? And then nothing showed up for months and months. And I'm, you know, when it was announced that IDW no longer has the Joe license, I'm like, well, I guess this answers my question.
Yep.
I guess we're
and
done.
And I guess we can, yeah, I guess we can talk about that here. So far, as of May of 2023, we don't know. We know that, from what I know, Hasbro has a new partner for the Transformers license. I assume they also have, I assume it's the same, going to be the same partner for all of their whatever. They've said that they have had, they have a new comic license partner, but they have yet to reveal who it, like, that's all I care about knowing. I don't care about when the comics come or whenever or what stories they're going to do. I want to know who got that license. That's all I want to know. Okay. And
what I, okay, what I've heard,
mm-hmm.
what I've heard is that, yeah, there is, you know, we might get word on who has the license sometime in the summer, like either June or July. I do know, I have seen posts by Larry Hama mm-hmm. that say he is working on more Joe, because I know that when IDW lost the Joe license, that final issue,
yeah,
I know that the final issue of the comics that Larry Hama was writing mm-hmm. ended on a cliffhanger,
mm-hmm.
and they do, you know, and that it is going to be continued. Because he did say, I'm working on issue such and such.
Yeah. And that's
which
great.
Indicated, okay, he's keeping the story going. We just don't know where yet.
Yeah.
I know that there was this independent company that said they were working on something Joe, and it turned out to be a Super Joe comic based off a toy line in like the 70s or so.
I mean, there have
but
been
as far
tons
as Real
of,
American Hero, yeah.
Yeah, there have been tons of rumors and tons of speculation since IDW lost the Hasbro licenses. I don't, especially with, and we mentioned this off air when we were talking before we started this, I don't think so, this will happen, but I think it would be absolutely ironic and silly and maybe fun if it went to DC. Only because we had it with Marvel in the 80s, and now I know it's never going to happen. I understand that.
People
have speculated Skybound. People have speculated other places. Look, I don't care when they release things. I don't care. Like, we have in specific to the Transformers world, and I don't know how, I don't keep up that much with G.I. Joe news, but every news article about a Transformers thing is like, oh, okay. Or like, they'll do Transformers film news where they'll say, oh, this movie is filming here this week, and that will be one news story. Like, filming locations will be a news story, or this will be a news story, or that. It's kind of like, this meeting could have been an email. This news story could have been lumped in with, like, seven other news stories. It didn't need its own spotlight kind of thing. But for whomever Hasbro has given the license to, I want to see that article because I want to know who the comic license is going to. That's all I want. I just want to know the name. That's it.
Yeah.
Whenever they decide to release stuff, they do. Yeah.
I am curious, too. I want to know who has the license. I want to know what their plans are. Like, how are they going to continue, Joe? How are they going to, you know, what are they going to do with Transformers?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to try and continue, like, the last continuity that IDW started? Is it going to be something totally fresh? You know, what are they going to do?
Again, speculation.
Yeah.
I think whoever it goes to, they need to start fresh. Because the other thing I've noticed is, because IDW no longer has the license, all of the digital comics that IDW has had over the last decade and a half now, 13, 14, 15 years, are pretty much mm-hmm. disappearing from Amazon or disappearing since Amazon bought Comixology and fucked it up. That's all I'm going to say about that. You know, I've noticed that the Transformers stuff from IDW is slowly disappearing digitally. Now, I know you can still get the physical, like, trade paperbacks and hardcover editions, but I'm assuming, big ass assuming here, that whoever has the license, they're going to want to start new because they're going to want to bring in that new audience. They're going to want to bring us in who have been fans for years, but just like IDW, they're going to want to bring in a whole bunch of new fans too. When IDW did it back in 20, 2011, 2012? No, IDW was 2005.
No. 2005. IDW, I think, started... IDW started their Transformers thing, like...
It was 2005.
Yeah, like it 2005.
Was, yeah, it was 2005.
In 2011 or so, they
that
did...
That was the... That was
2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was All Hail Megatron, where it's like, okay, we're going to... Yep. Our universe is going to keep going, but we're going to, you know, we're going to, like...
Renumber and rebrand. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Issue... So, we're getting into issue 7, folks. A Soldier's Heart. I'm going to read this from Wikipedia, because this is the note that they have on here, and this is informational purposes. This issue featured the special participation of Patricia Watson, PhD, U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, and Duane K.L. France, U.S. Army, SFC, LPC, as consultants. In September of 2020, the issue was released free online during the National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month to coincide with the governor's challenge to prevent suicide among service members, veterans, and their families, which was sponsored by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. So if you have issues, folks, or if you have, like, we're not going to go super deep into this. We're going to, we aren't. And I already kind of told my story about my attempt back, you know, 30 years ago. You know, anytime I see suicide, anything, anywhere, it's like, okay, do you need help? Do you want me to talk to you? Do you want to talk to somebody? You know, I'm like, I'm always trying to help. I've written up blog posts where I say suicide is not the answer. Please, if you need help, use these numbers, use whatever I don't remember what it is off the top of my head.
I'll confess something right now. A few years ago, I did lose someone to suicide.
I'm so sorry.
You know, there was a friend. You know, there was a friend. I mean, they weren't like a good friend, but they were part of the circle of friends that Patricia and I have here. And yeah, it was just the thing was that they would disappear. You know, they would have a big social media presence, and then they would disappear. And, you know, they would say about how they're having a tough time, and I would reach out to them, and I would say, hey, do you want to talk about it? Do you need anything? And, yeah, it's just one day. I'm off work. I'm waiting for my wife. And then I look at my, you know, I go on Facebook on my phone, and I find out that, yeah, they'd killed themselves. And I just remember saying, damn it. You know, like, there was a while there where I kind of I was like, okay, is there something I could have done? Did I reach out enough? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just, I don't dwell on it anymore, but it's like having that gnawing in your head of like, okay, was there something that I didn't, you know, was there a way I could have gone even further?
Yeah.
You know, that I could have prevented this.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's, you know, I'm not trying to make it about myself, but I'm just...
No, absolutely. No.
This is the thing. You know, this is one of the things of when there's a trauma. It's like, it affects everyone. You know, this is not something that's just this secret pain. It's, you know, it's all over the place.
Well, it's also a thing of like, if and not just in suicide, but any trauma, it's like, if people get divorced, if people this or people that or whatever else, how do you deal with that? Like, how do you, you know, like, if you're best friends with somebody, with, let's say, a couple, okay, if you're friends with both of them, well, and they, you know, are no longer together, kind of thing, or whatever it is, however, whenever that happens, like, how do you approach that? How do you, like, whatever, you know, it is what it is. But with the suicide stuff, it's so much, especially with, like, I read the note here about who collaborated on the issue to bring awareness to all of this. And my uncle he's retired now, I'm pretty sure, but in the 90s, He was a CB in the Navy. He was overseas. He was in Desert Shield, yeah. Desert Storm, all that stuff, all the Gulf War and all that. And I worried about him every – it was my dad's brother. I worried about him every night on the radio listening. And again, folks, for those of you who may be listening to this that were born after 1989, you probably don't remember life before the internet. But we didn't have internet back in 1990 when I was 10 years old, 91, 92, 93, 94. Yeah, no. Like, I mean, okay, 94 maybe, but you know what I mean? Like – we didn't.
Well, but yeah, the internet, if even if you had the internet at the time, it would have been as just basic.
Yeah. It,
like just
yeah.
really basic form.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, I mean, what those service people go through is a lot. And this issue, like it's having Scarlett look back on her recovery after her trauma. And then, you know, going through all the going to group or going to therapy or going here, or going there. Mm-hmm. And she meets somebody in therapy who commits suicide, who kills himself.
Yeah.
And that kind of gives her like this whole retrospective thing, like you were saying, did I do enough? Did I not do enough kind of thing?
Yep.
And
yeah.
And that's what this whole issue is about. It's about her dealing with her own trauma, as well as being traumatized by someone who, even though she barely knew the person, like, you know, the whole ending to this, to issue 7, I was like, oh my, like, she's like, look, I'm going to try the soda. I'm going to try the soda. And then all of a sudden that person isn't, I'm like, oh God, that just,
yeah,
it's hard. It really is.
Yeah.
Hard.
And it's, you know, and it's also, it's interesting to, you know, the fact that I'm trying to think about this. It's like when I was thinking about this issue, one of the things I did was I tried going back, you know, looking at the Joe catalog that we've had since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, have they ever really touched on something like this, on the PTSD
mm-hmm.
that these characters have to feel? And I was like, I struggled because I was like, I don't think so. I mean, we had characters traumatized by things that happened.
Yeah. But
this was something totally, this was like something totally different because they really showed it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I was just like, holy, like when the issue came out, I was like, holy cow, this is some awesome writing.
Oh yeah.
And then looking at it for this, you know, for this recording.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't think they've ever touched on it ever.
Nope.
Cuz like I'm thinking about it. I'm like going through. I'm like, okay, wait, I know this happened in the Marvel run. I know this was in, you know, the Devil's Due run, but I'm like, yeah, no. I'm looking at it and I'm like, they never have. Never have until Paul Lore thought, "Okay, let me do this." Let's do this. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And I just got to say kudos.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad this issue is out there. I almost thought initially, because again, I only really noticed the fact that IDW had the Joe license if something major, like major news was like this was major news. Yeah. This was everywhere because of.
Yep.
The whole suicide prevention month thing and, you know, that, and all that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. Does that mean it's only going to be a – like, I didn't even realize – because I stopped following after the news died down about issue 7. I didn't even really realize up until we started doing research for it, up until we read that. I'm like, oh, this is technically an 11-issue series. We're going to do Castle Fall in a future episode, folks. But 10 issues, I didn't even think we were going to get 3 more issues because it's so strange going from issue 7 into issue 8.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of a – well, it's also kind of like the thing I think about is – you know, I think about back in 2001,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we had 9/11 mm-hmm. and how, you know, Marvel stopped – what they were doing with the Spider-Man comics
yep.
and pulled out a special issue where it was, you know, Spidey and other Marvel characters at Ground Zero. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, how do you, you know, and then the next month is going to be like, okay, we'll return you to our regularly scheduled program. And it's like,
yeah,
okay, if you, you know, if you think you can, all right, cool. But it'll be interesting to see if you can.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, they did, you know, they did go back to what they were, you know, the storyline that they were doing. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, yeah, but it is interesting. You know, it's like, how do you go back to your main storyline after this?
Yeah.
And you know, how do you do that?
Yeah. And I mean, because this has been it's not super like Scarlet's there. She's not super front and center all of the time, but she is training this new recruit Tiger and all of that. So she's kind of front and center. So to really put her front and center with issue 7, and man, it was, I'm glad they did this. I'm glad that they had not only the guts, but just the wherewithal to do this and finally talk about something that not a lot of people talk about. And I understand why we don't talk about certain things, but just certain things have to be talked about at some point, or certain things, a light has to be shown on certain, especially certain traumas and things like that. And, you know, no one should take their own lives. Just please don't, folks. Well, if you need help, get help.
You know what? And it's like, but I mean, also I also kind of feel like, you know, it's something that needs, you know, it's something that should be talked about. Mm-hmm. Especially, and it's one of those things that also, because a thing that I've had to deal with in my life, you know, not me personally, but mm-hmm. I've had to deal with the effects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's addiction. And one of the things about that, you know, for me is that it, you know, it's understanding the fact that addiction is a disease. And while we, you know, it's just so easy, you know, it can be so easy to tell a person, you know, you don't have to drink that many beers. You don't have to smoke or inject this, but that it's a, you know, it's not as simple, you know. We would want it to be, you know, we'd want it to be, it would just be so much better if it was, but it's not, you know, it's not. And that's the other, you know, that's, I think, also the thing that gets me with, you know, talking about suicide and suicide prevention is that, you know, it's, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. It can be so easy to tell somebody, you know, please don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, please don't. But, you know, there are other things. I mean, we don't know, you know, nobody can, you know, I didn't know you in the 90s. I didn't know what you were going through. I didn't know what your mental state is. I could, you know, I mean, I'm thankful that you're still alive.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for that. But, you know, I can't just, you know, it's not, you know, I'm doing a disservice by simply thinking, you know, oh, it's just a matter of saying, you know, oh, just don't do it. I'm here for you, man. You know, reach out to me instead. But it's not that easy for, you know, it's not that easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that easy to tell someone, you know, addiction, you know, mental illness. It's just, you know, it's so much, you know, there's so many difficulties that are attached to it.
Yeah.
And, they very, you know, much I'm are. I'm not an expert. I don't claim to be, and I don't want, you know, I don't claim to be, you know, it's just,
If I remember correctly, I've been trying to find it as you've been talking. I know right now, if because we all have mobile phones nowadays. We all have cell phones. We all have smartphones. We all have whatever. You can dial 988 anywhere in the U.S. on a smartphone, yeah, and you can get help that way. There was, and I think it's still active, there was a 1-800 number for those that may not have a smartphone or a cell phone or people that still have them. Yeah. I believe, and I will try to find this and correct myself on this in the editing, but I believe it's 1-800-255-TALK. I could be wrong, but Google is failing at the moment. Folks, if you need professional help, dial 988, or you can go online to the suicide prevention website. I will have a link in the show notes for that. Just do what you can to help yourselves as best you can. And if it's just talking to somebody like us or listening to our stories, or if it's talking to your friends or your family, just please speak up.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want anyone to feel like they're alone. I've felt that before, and it's not, you know, it's not a good thing. It's not good to be alone with your thoughts when you're just, your mental capacities are going bleh, 'cause that's what sometimes it happens. So please reach out. All right. I don't know how we're going to get back on track, but I'm trying my best not to joke, because that was a serious thing there, but I don't know why I find this so weird and ironic. We just had an issue about suicide and suicide prevention. A Soldier's Heart was the title for issue 7. Issue 8, Our Toxic Friends. No, you should not have friends that are toxic. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's... Well, and I mean, we kind of get... We get back into the heart of things, which is like... you know, we get back into the heart of things, which is talking about... you know, we go back to, you know, the Joe's trying to take down Cobra. You know, in this case, we get...
bomb strike,
you know,
yeah,
undercover, hitting on Dr. Venom, you know, it's, yeah, it's kind of, this one, you know, it's, well, first of all, the fact that they use, like, they could have used anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could have been Scarlet. It could have been Jay. It could have been Covergirl. It could have been, you know, it could have been tricking, you know, like it could have been anybody. And then they chose Bombstrike, you know, a character that was introduced in the toys. You know, like back in 2004 or so, 2003, 2004. And, you know, and they use her and crafting an interesting story, because it's all like, oh, you know, going in deep and needing to, like, you know, going in deep and what happens when you do, and, you know, just the, and interesting that we even have, like, we even have Dr. Venom of all people, you know, like we mentioned Dr. Mindbender, but, you know, Dr. Venom was like the first Cobra, you know, mad scientist type.
Hmm.
And just to have him, and it's like, oh yeah, we're getting Dr., you know, we're getting Dr. Venom. And then it's like, by the end of the issue, mm-hmm, you're actually feeling like, I don't know about you, but I felt sorry for the guy.
A little bit, yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute, what? I'm feeling sorry for Dr. Venom? How is this happening?
Yeah.
I mean, this was a guy who tortured, you know, his first appearance in the Marvel comics, he tortured Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh man, dude, you gave your heart out to this lady, and, you know, oh man.
She but basically I'm like, stomped on it with her 7-inch heel.
Yeah, and it's just like, wait a minute. I'm experiencing. I'm feeling sorry for Dr. Mindbender. How is that happening?
Venom.
Yeah, no. But it's like, but see, that's the thing. I'm still trying to get over it. I'm like, Dr. Venom. This was some psycho guy, and I'm like, oh man, poor guy. Poor guy, he got his heart stopped. Yep. You know, it's like, no, this is Dr. Venom. This is Dr. Archibald Venom. This is Dr. Venom. You know, this was a guy who was like creating a biological pathogen that he wanted to use to poison the U.S. money supply. What? No, I don't want to feel sorry for this jerk. What the hell? Damn it, Polymer! Why are you doing this? Why are you making me feel sorry for this grody individual? What the hell?
Yeah.
Well. What the hell, man? But yeah, and you know, it's bombs, you know, and then the use of the character of Bombstrike. It's like, I remember her character was first mentioned in, because like her brother is a G.I. Joe, her other brother's an agent of Cobra, and there were file cards before she had a figure. There were file cards that mentioned at one point, the Cobra brother may have captured her and was holding her prisoner. And it's like, then they, you know, yeah, then later on her figure came out. I think one of the other figures of her brother, Barrel Roll, the Joe, I think did say, he rescued her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm just like, okay, you have this story being told in the file cards, and I'm just like, are we going to ever get more? Like, I want more. I wanted this played out in the in some form, like in comics or a cartoon or something, because I was like, you got me hooked. And the most we ever got of, you know, like, she was brought into the IDW stuff that was published, you know, the IDW stuff that came out, mm-hmm. That Hama did. Her character was featured there. But, like, as far as, like, both brothers showed up in the Devil's Due run. And she only had a one-page cameo, like a one-panel cameo, unspeaking. Like towards the end, and it's just like, no, come on, give me something.
Nope, you get nothing.
Give me something here. I don't just want a one panel appearance. Let's have the whole thing. Like the two brothers, their storyline was completely fleshed out, and she got a one. It's like, damn it, come on here. What the hell?
Yep.
Dude.
Yes. Yeah, so what an issue this was.
This was an issue. I mean, this was an issue. And dude, and then love seeing Chuckles. The fact that he's still going with the Hawaiian shirts, it's like, okay, all right, we're still doing the Hawaiian shirts, okay, fine.
He's a Canadian diplomat.
Or at least acting as a Canadian diplomat.
Okay, so, yeah, but, like, if you're acting as a Canadian diplomat, a Hawaiian shirt, I guess that technically would be a better disguise than a snowsuit.
Yeah, and I mean, and I guess, I don't know, maybe he's on vacay, you know, he's on vacay, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know any Canadian diplomats, so I don't know, you know, maybe today's casual Friday, so, you know, it's like, and, you know, if he's got the right papers, you know,
there
I ain't gonna complain.
And, yeah, so, man, what an issue.
That's a rough one. Like,
yeah,
you had two, you had a break, and then you had two more rough ones.
Yeah,
and it's like, holy cow, you know, just, and it
it was just, I said it earlier, you know, it's freaky that, you know, you read this issue and it's like, oh, hey, you know, hey, did you want to see Captain Gridiron here? Enjoy the one appearance, you know, just seeing like all these characters just get cut down. It's like, Jesus, you know, or like the fact that Ripcord got killed parachuting out onto the site. Yeah. And it's like, it's like the sick irony of it. Because, you know, yeah, his whole thing is he is all about, you know, jumping out of airplanes. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this is the thing he's supposed to do well. And instead, you know, it ends up being the cause of death. You know, it's just, although I did, one thing I did like, is you have that moment where, like in the beginning, you have Tunnel Rat is talking to one of the guys that gets killed. And the guy is like, we're not going to win this war. And then, you know, Tunnel Rat makes it out on his own. He rendezvous with his buddies. And yeah, Shipwreck's like, you know what? We're going to win this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's a part of me that kind of wishes that 9 and 10 had been switched.
Really?
Well, because think about it this way. If you would have had this, you know, Tunnel Rat's story, mm-hmm, be issue 10 story, ending it with that line with Shipwreck going, we're gonna win.
Yeah.
And you know, and then of course it leads into Castlefall. It's like, okay, now I see what you did.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying, except the fact that the way that it does end with issue 10 is that, you know, it ends with Tiger, who was the new character that we kind of started the series out with.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you're right. I'm not saying you're not right.
That's true. Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
I'm just saying.
I think it's kind of one of those things. It's like, well, you got to, you know, on like either the one we got still works.
Mm-hmm.
Would it have been interesting to do the one that, you know, the thing that I said, yeah. Did we need it? No. But yeah, it would have been interesting. But it is cool that, you know, we have Tiger, you know, the guy that we started on.
Yep.
Being a part of things. You know, being a part of the ending.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
With Tunnel Rat, you know, becoming the last survivor of all of that and managing to destroy the factory. And like you said, Shipwreck shows up and saves him. Yeah. Issue 10 is Lady J, which...
Yeah, Lady J undercover with... when we have... That's weird because, again, we have another undercover issue.
Uh-huh.
We have like another issue that revolves around somebody going on, you know, it's weird because it's like 7 was a heavy issue.
Yeah.
Then we get Infiltrator. You know, we get an Infiltrator issue.
Yep.
Then we get, then we get another heavy issue.
Yep.
And then we get another Infiltrator issue. It's like this weird kind of leapfrog.
Yeah, it's kind of like a back and forth thing. She wasn't always Frontier's wife, though, was she? It was her and Flint, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think Frontier, I believe, is supposed to be this continuity's iteration of Flint.
Okay.
Because other than the beard, he looks like Flint.
A little bit, yep.
And yeah, they've always been. And then I know with the Devils Do stuff, that they did put them together. They did actually have them get married before the events of the, you know, before the Devils Do stuff started. So they were husband and wife.
Very cool.
Yeah. And yeah, I,
Yeah, right.
But yeah, the whole thing, you know, the whole thing at the end, where she reunites with him and you know, just goes and that was a great twist. I think only because it's like, you know, the Flint character had been redesigned for this. It's like so many things are different. So to then have something where it's like, oh, you know, yeah, this is, you know, no, these are the people you know and love.
Yeah.
You know, to have that, it's like, oh, okay then. Yeah. All right. Okay. Huh. And what I do want to talk about is the bat that goes crazy.
Yeah.
I feel there's so much attention to the character that when I first read the issue, I was expecting for the bat to turn out to be somebody. That it would be like a character that we know and love. It's like, wait, it's actually this person. And you're like, what?
Yeah, like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Optical.
Well,
flip?
I do know that, you know, I know that in one issue we had Jinx go off on her own with Snake Eyes. Mm-hmm. So there was a part of me that was like, well, first off, I mean, until I noticed that the bat was female, at first I thought, is this going to turn out to be Duke? you know, is it that Mindbender, you know, is Mindbender putting human brains in like Battle Android Troopers? Is it going to be Duke? You know, is Duke going to be alive and well? Well, alive, I don't know about well.
yeah, no.
You know, and then, but then like, you know, once I noticed, oh no, this is a female character, I was like, is it going to turn out to be Jinx? Mm. Like, she left, you know, she left the Joes, hooked up with Snake Eyes. Is this going to be a thing where after she hooked up with Snake Eyes, you know, she somehow got captured and Mindbender decided to use her as, you know, his latest guinea pig? And then the bat just left. And I'm like, is this something that was going to be picked up later if this continuity was going to keep going? Like, would we have seen, you know, would we have gotten something where it turns out it's like, holy cow, it's Jinx, you know? Actually Jinx, you know?
Yeah, I think that would have been cool. I don't know if that would have worked, though, because Jinx, I don't know, Jinx is kind of she's a good character, but she was in there kind of spying on them, sort of, for Snake Eyes. Mm-hmm. So, not really sure if that would actually work.
Maybe not.
Could, you know, who knows? Yeah. I mean, we'll probably never know at this point, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, I think you'd have to find Paul Allure at a convention and just be like, you know,
or,
hey,
you know, just ask him on Twitter.
Was the bat ever supposed to be somebody? We know.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, maybe have to ask him and just be like, yeah, is this supposed to be, you know, yeah, is this supposed to be somebody we know? You know, what was going to be the deal?
Yeah. Now that I've actually read through issue 10 twice now. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I can kind of see that Frontier really is a stand-in or a pseudo version of Flint. Yeah. But they used everybody else's name. I don't know why they couldn't have used his.
You know what? I don't know either. I don't know why. I don't know why it was Frontier instead of Flint. You know, I'm just. You know, it's like, I don't know. Again, it's one of those things. You got to ask Paul Allure on Twitter, or you know, talk to him at a convention. I'm fine with it. You know, I didn't have an issue with it. I'm just, yeah, I, you know, for me, I'm just like, look, I enjoyed the story. It was weird seeing Flint with a beard.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, I don't, you know, there are other things you can freak out about.
I know you're not freaking out about it,
but I'm just saying, as a general thing,
yeah,
it's like there are other things we can focus on, and we don't have to be all like, you know,
well, you know, his name is supposed to be Flint, and, you know, why does he have a beard, and, you know, it's supposed to be like this.
It's like, no, I, you know.
Yeah.
I also thought it was weird that we had Roadblock as a pacifist, you know, and he was, and one of his things was he was freaked out because he actually had to kill somebody.
Yeah, that was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, something that I've gotten, I don't know if the word has gotten used to, but for me, it's like one of the things when someone's just like,
this isn't how it was in this.
It's like, you're right. You're right. It's not. But on the other hand, you know, we're in, you know, one of the things about, you know, comics is comics are a multiverse.
Yep.
And as a multiverse, you know, this means that there are going to be things that are not, you know, there are going to be different variations. A character may feel the same, but they may be different because of. And it's like, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just another iteration. And the thing is that, you know, the iteration of Flint or Duke or Scarlet or whoever that you like more than the way they were presented in this series, they're still out there. They are still, you know, there are still ways you can read these stories and like them. And if you want to put blinders on and say, this never happened or that never happened, go right ahead. Like, honestly, I love some stories from the Devil's Due era. I hated the fact they killed Lady J.
Yeah.
I hated it. But you know what? I still have plenty of comics that I can read where she is alive and well.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'll be fine. You know, I will just go back to the stuff where she's alive and well. I know in Hama's stuff, she's still alive. So we're cool. We don't need to freak out about it. It's like, yeah, and, you know, there's other things we need to focus on that have nothing to do with, you know,
you ruined my favorite character. How dare you, sir?
You know,
they are not supposed to be, you know, black haired and with a Latina background. They're supposed to be blonde haired. That is how the character was first created. Respect the creator. You know?
It's like, how about relax?
Yeah. Oh boy.
Don't mind me. You know, I just I see the rage, and I'm just like, what are you raging at, bro?
Mm-hmm.
What do you need to rage about?
So yeah, is there anything we missed from the first 10 issues? The only 10 issues, but.
I think we covered. I mean, we covered the important stuff. This one fun little aside, though. I, you know, for another project, I looked into, there's a G.I. Joe deck building game by Renegade Games.
Mm-hmm.
I looked into it. You know, I looked into it. I play tested it a little bit. The art. There's like two cards for Major Blood. And both of them are actually from this series.
Oh,
it's
cool.
It's Major Blood as he's depicted in in World on Fire. So I thought that was kind of funny. I thought it was like, wow, okay, so we're going to do this iteration of Major Blood. Okay. All right. Now that's, hey, okay. I mean, you know, it's interesting. Maybe not what I would have done, but, you know, me, you know. And we still, you know, again, we could still get a Major Blood, you know, classic Major Blood, just like Mom used to make.
That's the wrong pudding, folks. That's not worse. That's not putting you want to eat.
It could have been. Hey, at least, you know, hey, look. At the very least, I wasn't trying to do bad poetry like Major Blood.
True. What surprised me was there wasn't much Cobra Commander. Like, he's in like maybe one or two panels. Like, he's not in this at all. Like, which is fine. We have, what is it, 40 plus years or so of Cobra Commander things. It's like, yeah. It works for the story that he's not here, that they constantly reference him and everything else. And that's all well and good. I like that Baroness is kind of sort of front and center. I like the, like you said, the kind of jumping around between issues. Like, we get this issue, we get that issue, we get very. It almost feels like a 10-episode episodic, non-serial, even though it is overall serialized to be one whole story. Like you were saying, with going from issue 6 to issue 7 to issue 8, and how issue 6 and 8 are different than 7 and 9. And. Yeah. It's good. I really, really enjoyed it. So, folks, we are going to take a quick break. We are going to come back with our rating and close the show out right after this.
Transformers! You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete. Now.
The Rod Pod.
Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com. At iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Till all are one.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh, yes. Definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
All right, folks, we are back here in episode 521 of The Pullback. It is the second week of May. G.I. Joe, World on Fire. The first 10 issues, and again, you pointed this out to me. I knew about this series, but you pointed Castle Fall out to me, and I didn't realize that Castle Fall was the one shot that was kind of like the exclamation point on this series. And I was like, oh, okay, well, because you told me, oh, let's do this and let's do this. And I'm like, okay, sure, we can do that. And then we can. So I created a completely separate episode for Castle Fall because I thought it was a whole new series and it's just a one shot. Like I said, an exclamation point on this. So Castle Fall will be the second week in June when that releases. For rating for World on Fire, 0 to 5, what are you going to give it?
You know what? there was, you know, I'm going to say 4.5.
Yeah.
Like, definitely 4.5. You know, this is not, this isn't your, you know, this isn't your dad's G.I. Joe. You know, this isn't the traditional G.I. Joe. But it is a good series, and there are a couple of stories that are really compelling.
Yep.
And that shouldn't be ignored just because it's not traditional G.I. Joe.
So I don't know whether, and I'm not looking it up because I don't feel like typing or using my mouse or whatever else. Real American Hero, maybe you can tell me off the top of your head, how many issues has that had over the decades, like 500 or more or something?
Okay. The Larry Hama. Yeah, the Larry Hama stuff.
Yeah.
So with the Marvel run and then the IDW continuation, it's, I would say, 300.
Okay.
Not counting, you know, just the main book and not counting annuals and stuff like that.
Right. Okay.
With the Devils, with the Devils Do Run, let's see. Like over 200.
Yeah, so it's in total for the last 40 years, it's been about, you know, 500 issues of G.I. Joe. And the reason why I'm asking this is because I am one of those people who are not diehard in this franchise. I like certain aspects of it. I like learning about it. Like, I learned a lot of stuff in, you know, reading this series by Paul Allor and the art team that's on it, and that's great. But I also felt like, how can people read, just in general, I'm not pointing any, like, how can you read 500 issues of really traumatic stuff? Like, this is about war. This is about military. This is about, you know, I don't know. And this is my personal opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, the opinion you're about to hear is TFG and Mike's own personal opinion, and no other opinions really, you know, count except as far as, like, I mean, they count, but because this is mine, I just feel like G.I. Joe feels like it should be something that should be like this, a 10 or 11 issue miniseries that has a overall focused story, but has those moments like issue 7 or issue 9 that could feel episodic, but could also feel like it's connected to, like, G.I. Joe doesn't seem like a brand that would be, at least to me after reading this, and again, this is the first G.I. Joe comic I've ever read. It just, and I used to watch the cartoon as a kid. I haven't watched the cartoon in years. I actually have the Walmart version of the Sunbow series back behind me. Need to start watching that again. So, but, like, that's what I'm saying, because I'm like this outsider looking in, like, the way I feel about this after reading this story is that, you know, as another really, really cheesy 80s villain said in his 1990 movie debut, or his 1991 sequel, you know, in smaller doses through future mutants. Like, that's what I feel about G.I. Joe as a comic book concept. Smaller is better. Small, don't give
you
us.
You know what? Good. You know what? It, honestly, you may have an interesting point. I know that the comics, okay, the comics have gone harder than the cartoons.
Right.
But this is, this right here, World on Fire, this is probably the hardest it's gone. Like, it has had, you know, it has had some stuff. You know, you did, you know, the Marvel run did have an issue where Duke, Falcon, and Cross Country were, like, you know, lost seven of their teammates.
Right.
You know, there have been, you know, there have been tough issues, but this is the toughest that it's been. Yeah. I would say that, yeah, if you are going to take G.I. Joe and you're going to go hard on it, like you're going to be like, okay, we're really going to make this a war comic, mm-hmm. then yeah, doing these small little things is the way to go.
Yeah.
If you're going to be like, I mean, if you're going to do, you know, if you are going to have like, yeah, you're going to do that. You're going to do G.I. Joe, you know, closer to the Joe we know and love, you know, like mm-hmm. The cartoons, the Marvel comics, things like that. You could probably do an extended story. You know, it just depends on where do you want to, you know, how do you want to go with this?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
that's the best way I can put it. Like, how? Yeah. Where do you want to go? How do you want to do this?
And if this was as hard as G.I. Joe has ever gone, man, was this a great... Like I said, at 4.5 out of 5, I really enjoyed this story. I did not feel lost or feel uncomfortable. I will admit, the one time I felt lost was the bomb strike and Venom issue.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was the agent and she was he was the spy and she was the Cobra. It's not what it is, obviously.
Yeah.
that was the only time I really kind of felt a little lost. And then I reread it. I'm like, oh, right. Okay, got it. She's the Joe and he's okay. No, I really enjoyed this. I'm very much looking forward to Castle Fall when we get to it next month. In between this episode and when we get to Castle Fall, we are going to have my buddy Joe is going to come back. We've been doing this for years. We are in the midst of IDW TMNT Reborn, so we're going to do Reborn Volume 2. Steve Megatron, we are going to continue Star Trek. We're actually going to, at this point, we're going to continue it. Star Trek Defiant 2 and 3 from IDW, and then Star Trek Overall 6 and 7. And then I got to find somebody. I don't know who I don't know. I gotta figure out what I'm going to do with Radiant Black. So that's what's coming up between now and the next time Eduardo will be here for Castle Fall.
And by the way, speaking of Star Trek, there was a free comic book day issue brought out.
Oh, was there?
That is supposed to... It's supposed to set up for... there's going to be a crossover between Defiant... And
there's going to be a crossover series.
There's going to be a crossover between the two. They're going to, you know, kind of link back up for something called Day of Blood.
And I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. The free comic book day issue that came out like yesterday, as of, you know, we're recording this a Sunday after free comic book day. It set up for that. So
interesting.
Definitely. Yeah, I would say that, you know, hopefully you picked it up. You know, hopefully anybody listening who's a fan picked it up. And, you know, if not, I don't know, like, hopefully somebody, you know, hopefully it'll be online. Like, maybe, you know, if you go to Comixology, you know, they'll be offering.
Well, Comixology doesn't exist anymore. It's Amazon, Kindle, whatever, Kindle Comics.
Whatever, yeah. I know that back in the day, that they used to do.
Oh no, absolutely!
They would have the free comic book day stuff.
Comixology used to get them like 2 or 3 months after. By the end of the summer, they usually used to get them. And the one thing I will say, since we are recording this before Free Comic Book Day, and it'll be out, or actually right after Free Comic Book Day, it'll be out the Wednesday after Free Comic Book Day. I did not do a Free Comic Book Day episode this year. However, I did link on my Twitter and the GCRN Twitter and the Pullbag Twitter all about our past Free Comic Book Day episodes. And the last thing I said is that even though... at the time, today is Free Comic Book Day, the comics are not really free for the shops. So when you're out getting your free comic books, please do your best to support your local comic shop. Whether that's buying comics, a Funko Pop, a statue, whatever it is, support the LCS.
Yeah, that's what I did. You know, I got the Comic Book Day comics, and then I grabbed something else.
Yep.
You know, and
that's what I always do when I go.
Yeah.
I just didn't go this year.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, if you didn't go, you didn't go. I mean, you know, it's like,
It's so weird. I live in a small town now, and it's like a town of less than 10,000 people, and there is a comic book store here, but walking, it's like an hour and a half away, whereas driving, it's 5 minutes. Explain that to me. I don't understand that, but it is what it is. Anything you want to promote, sir? Anything you got coming up? Anything you want to pimp out there before I go through the closing?
You know what? I'm just going to say, hey, listen to Marku 42. You know, we're still doing episodes. I think two of my co-hosts, Vicky Jacobowski and Mark himself, have been heavily promoting these comics by these British guys, the 77.
The 77, yep.
Yep, so, listen to Marku 42. We just recently covered Picard Season 3. We've got, more of the 77 coming up. And, I got to talk to Mark and see about, see about handling Guardians 3, because that came out this past weekend.
Yep.
So, we got, and I know that a couple of years ago or so, I did do some comic writing with the Seer for Rising Sun. And all I'm going to say about that is stay tuned.
There you go. Very cool, very cool. All right, folks, thank you for joining us here inside the Pullbag. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays: Apple and Google Podcasts. Leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio for the network, @ThePullbag for the show. I am @TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
Yeah, mine is, it's supposed to be White Balloon King, but if you're going to put it in, it's WHTBLLNKING. Or just put in Eduardo M. Fryer, and you should be able to find me. If anything, so, just look at if anything, you can find me probably through my EFG1 Mike's tweets.
Yep. I want to make a Ronco joke, but I'm going to avoid that. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out the Pullbag as well as Mark Who 42's universe over there as well. Join us next time when we will be discussing, what did I say, episode 522. That's me and Joe talking about TMNT Reborn Volume 2. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Eduardo and Fryer.
As always, make your great escape into comics.
G.I. Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare. G.I. Joe.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/ThePullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullbag and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.